Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
Turn in your Bible or mobile device to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. What are you doing? Yes, we're still in 2 Peter. Relax. Continuing our series through 2 Peter. Steady on course. As a pastor, I love teaching texts like we saw a few weeks ago. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I could teach verses like that week after week after week and just love it. One problem with that is that would set you all up to be victims of an enemy that's prowling around seeking whom he may devour. You see, it's nice to teach the tasty bits, but we also have to be sharing with you the stuff that's a little bit harder to swallow. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is talking about his calling, about his ministry, about what he was meant to do. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24, it says this: I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed, to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the point. Him, Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul saying that as a pastor and teacher, we need to warn and teach. It's not just about teaching, you know, the nice and the fun and the Philippians 4:6-7, the Philippians 4:13. So I can do all things in Christ, and all these verses that, you know, that speak of, you know, all the positive and the uplifting things. We need those, but we also need warnings. There's reasons why. Turn to 2 Peter. This chapter 2, is a warning. The whole chapter is a warning, one warning. That was too long for me to get in one sitting, so I'm going to break it up into two parts. It's a strongly worded warning against false teachers. Peter is warning us that there are people out there that are attempting to steer us away from the best possible life. God, when he created you, created a plan for your life that is good. A life that, if we live according to his plan, leads us to the best possible life for us. And I can't tell you what that is for you, because it's different for each of us. There's a path that you were created to live, a life that you're created to live that is a good life. But to do it, we have to know what the path is, and we have to watch out. What Peter's going to say, you got to watch out, because there's people that want to take it away from you. They want to lead you away from it. They want to lead you to a life that doesn't lead to the best possible life. In fact, he's going to say it's a life that leads to destruction. And we need to be warned away from that, those, what he's going to say, destructive heresies. I'm going to share with you today some of the false teachers we need to watch out for. I'm going to name names today. Be careful. You may not like some of the names, or you may not appreciate some of the names that I mention, but we need to watch out. There are false teachers, and they are very popular. But we want to be steady on course to the best possible life. And to do that, we need to know that there are people we need to watch out for. If you're willing and able, would you please stand as we read today's text out of reverence for the Word of God, which, by the way, is a tradition. This is one of my traditions. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do lift up this text. Lord, a text of warning, and I pray, Lord God, our hearts would be open to hear the warning, and that we would see it for what it truly is, and that we have our hearts to hear the truth clearly and plainly. And that, Lord, that you would minister to me, your messenger, for this message. That, Lord God, you would use me to share truth, Lord God. That you would guide my tongue and words to speak only what you would have said here today. And that, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd minister to each of us exactly what we need right where we are. Comfort where comfort is needed. Strength where strength is needed. Peace where peace is needed. Hope where hope is needed, that through your word you can accomplish amazing, supernatural, miraculous things above and beyond anything we could hope or imagine. And so we give this time to you now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of this morning's message is Warnings of Danger, Part 1. Got real creative with that title. Every now and then, you just got to say what it is. Peter concluded the last chapter by saying that the Spirit of God moved holy men to write the Scriptures. The Old Testament, he says, the Old Testament was written by men, holy men that were inspired and moved to write those things by the Spirit of God. They weren't their words. It wasn't their words. It was the words of God that God inspired them to write. And as he opens this chapter, he says those holy men had to contend with false prophets, those that were speaking on behalf of God but weren't hearing from God. Guys that were saying, I am a prophet of the God, of the living God, Almighty God, Yahweh God, and then yet they weren't. They weren't hearing from him. God wasn't speaking to them, and yet they were speaking as though he was. False prophets. He's saying that they were there. Verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people that God inspired to write the Old Testament, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Just like there were false prophets during the time of the prophets of the Old Testament who wrote the Old Testament, he says there will be false teachers among you. There will be false teachers in the church. False teachers in this thing we call the Christian church. There are Christian churches that are being led by and taught by men who are not hearing from God. They call themselves men of God or women of God, and yet they're not getting messages from God. They're not hearing from Him. They are false teachers teaching false doctrine. 2,000 years ago, Peter said it. It was happening then. Within just a couple of decades, a few decades of when Christ had been on the earth and made it all real. And already, false teachers were among the church. 2,000 years, they're making big business at it. There's a lot of them. Secretly bringing in destructive heresies. A heresy is a false doctrine, a false teaching, meaning it deviates from the truth. What is the truth? We know what the truth is. The truth is the Bible. The Bible says very clearly what the truth is. If you deviate from what the Bible says, it is false. It doesn't matter what it is. It's false. False doctrine, false teaching. Here's a few examples. Anybody familiar with Rob Bell? Rob Bell is a false teacher. He says, there is no such thing as hell. Hell doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. And he says, oh, by the way, everyone will be saved. Whoa, that's cool. Everyone. Well, that makes sense. If there's no hell, then everyone has to be saved. If there's no hell, think this through. If there's no hell, then there's no judgment. If there's no judgment, then there's no need for atonement. If there's no need for atonement, who don't you need? Jesus. You don't need Jesus. You don't need him to die for you. He denies Christ by saying there is no hell and that all will ultimately go to heaven. It's a denial of Jesus Christ. He is a false teacher. Okay, I'm not done yet. Creflo Dollar. Okay, his name alone tells you a lot about what he's about. He teaches prosperity theology. And recently, I was dumbfounded when I read it. Recently, he told his church, of which it's a huge church, and the whole world, he says, you know, my private jet is no longer sufficient for me. You need to give me $65 million so that I can get a new jet because I can't do ministry this way. And I don't know if he actually got it, but I'm guessing he probably did. He teaches you can buy your way into heaven. You can be, if you're not rich, you're not successful, it's because you don't have enough faith. You can be faith. You can have everything. You can have it all. He wanted a $65 million jet so he can keep preaching prosperity theology. So people look at him and say, yeah, that must be the right way. Look at him. Look what God's doing for him. Okay, if I haven't stepped on your toes yet, I'm about to. Joel Osteen. False teacher. He teaches a watered-down gospel. In fact, he rarely mentions the name of Christ. He doesn't speak judgment. He doesn't speak repentance. He barely quotes out of Scripture. When he does, his interpretation is marginal at best. He's teaching a self-conscious kind of a feel-good kind of a gospel. Really, if you listen to him, you don't need to be saved. You don't need salvation. You just need to live a good life. Be a good person. Be good to other people. That's all you need. He's got good hair. So he also believes Mormons are Christians. Wrong. They're not. It's a cult. They are not Christians. They can call themselves Christians. They can even quote some Bible verses. They're not Christians. They don't believe in the same Jesus you do. Okay, if I haven't stepped on your toes, I got one more. Oprah Winfrey. Now, she wouldn't call herself a religious leader, but she is. She is. She's got a whole cult of people that are following her. And she teaches there are an infinite number of ways to get to God. Just be true to yourself. Be the best you can be. That's all God expects of you. That's all God wants from you. I got news for you. When you go stand before God, you know what he's going to ask you? Were you true to me? Not to yourself. Were you true to me? She's a false teacher. Sadly, many are going to follow these four and many others like them. Verse 2 says this, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." As these false teachers teaching these heresies, damnable heresies, people are believing them and following them in their destructive ways. Those ways lead to only one thing: destruction. Even the whole time they're you're laughing and smiling the whole way, thinking that you're okay with God because you're following their way, sending them your money. Why are they, and I named four, they are wildly successful. Wildly successful. Joel Osteen has the largest church in America. The largest church in America. He's a false teacher. Why is it so many follow him? And the rest of them? Well, somebody, I heard somebody whisper it. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine," true doctrine, the right doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth. "But according to their own desires, self, me, it's all about me. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Why do they follow people like them? Because they are getting what they want from them. Not what they need. Not what they need. And that is why some people will not stay at a church like this. And in the book of John, right in the very first chapter of John, says some radical things about Jesus. One of the things it says in verse 14 is, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among them." The Word became flesh. What Word? The Word of God became flesh. See, churches like ours, we consider this book, the Bible, as God's Word. The revelation of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is holy. And you cannot take anything out of this book. You cannot add anything to it. It is perfect and holy exactly the way that it is. And if we're going to be true to it, we've got to say what it says. And we've got to say it the way it says it. And not be ashamed of it. But you know what? When you do that, sometimes you poke people. Anybody ever been poked in this church? Come on. Come on. Be honest. You know, I poked a couple of you. I know I have. Where something, I say something, and the Spirit of God says, oh, yeah, he's talking to you right now, sister. brother. And we're going to tell you what it says. We're going to tell you the truth, because the truth is the only way to get to the best possible life. It's the only way to stay away from the dangers that are all around us. The darkness is dark around us, deep around us. And the only way to find our way is to know what the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the Word of God says. Without that, we are lost, just as all of those who are following these false teachers are lost. I'm not going to say they're all going to hell. I don't know that. I don't know what their true state is. But I'm going to tell you, if they're following these leaders, they may very well be lost. And we ought to not condemn them. We ought to be praying for them. They are influencing millions of people every week. And we ought to be praying for their eternal souls, that they would repent and turn to Jesus Christ and get back into His Word. Teach His Word faithfully and truly, that their influence might be used for God rather than for God's enemy, Satan. Because these false teachers, they're not working for God. Then who are they working for? His enemy. It's a serious, serious thing. We're going to tell you what God says you need, not what you think you need, not what you want. We're going to try to do it graciously, humbly, but we're going to tell you the truth. And that's not for everybody. We understand that. If you have itching ears here today, sorry. Peter then goes right to their motivation. We need to listen to things like this carefully. Verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. The false teachers want something from you. I hate to break this to you, Creflo Dollar does not need a $65 million jet. He doesn't need one. He wants it. Why? Because it's good for his image. It allows him to continue to deceive the thousands upon thousands of people that are following him. Bible says there is a terrible judgment coming for false teachers. James 3:1 warns us about that. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know, it's one thing as I go, and someday I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm giving accounting for every single word that I said. Everyone. It's a big deal for me to do that, to stand there and give an accounting for my words, for my life, for my sins. It's a completely different thing for me to stand before Jesus Christ and give an accounting for the words that I uttered that led someone else to sin. That's what James is talking about here. That if I am teaching a false doctrine, a false teaching, and I am leading people away from Jesus Christ, I'm leading them away from the best possible life, I am going to be held accountable to that. And oh, man. I don't want to stand before Jesus and say that. That doesn't mean people aren't going to sin after I say something, because some people misunderstand or distort or whatever. But my words must be true. I'm going to tell it as close to the truth as I possibly can and let God help you to figure it out. Be careful. Our words are important. There's a lot of similarity between this chapter and the book of Jude, which is like one chapter long, especially in these next few verses. Verse 4, speaking about primarily about judgment of these false teachers. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Contrary to what Rob Bell says, hell is a real place, right? Do you guys all believe that? If you don't say anything, because we don't want to hear about it. Come see me later. I'll help you understand. Hell is a real place, and it is still hot. And repentant sinners are still going there. Rob Bell may think otherwise. He's wrong. My Bible says very clearly, out of the words of Jesus Christ himself, who talked more about hell than anyone else in the Bible, hell is a real place. And we ought to be warning people away from it, not convincing them it doesn't exist. Most commentators look at this verse here and its corresponding verse in Jude and connect it with Genesis chapter 6, where fallen angels were somehow having sexual relations with human women. It's not clear exactly how that was working, but what we do know is God considered it was so wicked that he took those angels and he cast them down into hell and bound them in chains in absolute darkness until such time as he was ready to give them their final judgment. And they are there to this very day, thousands of years later, and they will be there until Jesus comes back and sets up the white throne for the final judgment. Peter's saying if God didn't spare them, he's not going to spare those false teachers either. Don't think I want to be associated with somebody whose destruction has already been determined. Another example, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. The ancient world was doing whatever it wanted to do. Does that sound familiar? It was doing anything it wanted to do, everything it wanted to do. Nothing was held back. Do whatever you want. Whatever feels good is good. You don't have no right to tell me what's wrong. Some false teachers will tell you, you can live any way you want. Be true to yourself. Be sincere. They're going to come into a shock when they stand in God's presence and he says, nope. You missed it. Not by a little bit, by a lot. Who is our target? Who is our goal? Who is the object of everything in our lives? Ought to be Jesus Christ. You put yourself on the throne, destruction. God's patience with the ancient world ran out. That's what the Bible teaches us. He got fed up. It got so wicked, so far gone, that God said, okay, enough is enough. And he judged the whole world and destroyed it with a flood. God's patience will run out with these false teachers, and they will get the judgment they deserve. And sadly, all of those who follow them will get the same judgment. Third example, verse 6. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. In Jude verse 7, it says why God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude says their sin was sexual immorality. And not just that, going after strange flesh. The most literal interpretation of that is homosexuality, but it's not limited to that. It's any sexual perversion, any. Peter is saying that judgment fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah because they had just lived this life any way they wanted, just doing whatever they wanted to. And we have people like Rob Bell recently said that we need to stop, because he was commenting on this whole sexual identity thing that's very politically charged right now. And he says we ought to stop paying attention, listening to letters that were written 2,000 years ago. He's saying he's referring to the Apostle Paul. We ought to disregard Paul and do what we think is right today. So basically what Rob Bell said, we need to throw out half of the New Testament. False teacher. leading people to destruction. When God said it 2,000 years ago, it wasn't new. He was saying things he had said thousands of years before that. If it was true in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was true in the time of Christ, guess what? It's still true today. God has a way, the way. It's a simple path that he's called for all of us. And if we stay on that path, it gives us the best possible life. Yeah, it means you can't live any way you want to. But the way you want to leads to destruction. That's why God doesn't want you to live that way.
Well, I can do it anyway. I can make it. I can be different than everyone else. I can be different than the billions of people that have lived before me. I can do it my way and live the best possible life. Yeah. It doesn't work.
And he's saying here that the reality is the judgment that fell upon all of these is going to fall upon these false teachers and all of those who follow them. Points out here, points out verse 5 that God saved 8 people when he flooded the earth. Points out here that another that was saved from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 7, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. When we think of Lot, I don't know about you, but I struggle with the whole idea of giving Lot the title of righteous. Yeah, he lived about as compromised a life as you possibly can. He lived in the center of wickedness. And the sense is that he just kept getting closer and closer and closer to it, to the point that his witness was absolutely non-existent. And yet the Bible describes him as righteous. Righteousness is not perfection. Righteousness is having a right relationship with God. Lot was a righteous man in the wrong place. He was a weak man. He didn't have the spiritual strength to leave Sodom, even though it tormented his soul to be there. He didn't have the spiritual strength to leave, to the point his witness was so pathetic that when he went and told his family that Sodom was going to be destroyed, they didn't listen to him. They laughed at him. His spiritual strength was so weak that the angels had to literally drag him out of Sodom before they destroyed it. Compromised life. All of us need to recognize that our witness is vitally important to God. With all this talk about judgment, Peter reminds us Christians of something here in verse 9. Then backs all the way up to verse 4, for if God, and he talks about all these things that he did, if God, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He saved Noah and his family. He saved Lot. He can save us, your family, out of the temptations and the trials and the difficulties and the circumstance of our life. If he can do all of that, he can do it in our lives as well. And to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. There's a day coming sometime, maybe in the near future, where Jesus is going to come and he's going to set up his throne. He's going to open up the books and he's going to execute judgment upon the wicked. This verse tells us that judgment has already been determined. Even before that happens, he's not waiting. These false teachers, if they do not repent of their sin, if they do not get right before God, their judgment has already been determined. And if those who are following them do not repent, so has theirs. That should motivate us. If you think about a church, especially one like Joel Osteen's church, tens of thousands of people show up every Sunday. Every one of them could be a lost soul that needs Jesus Christ desperately, that is looking for hope, is looking for peace, looking for love, looking for something. And they come starving into the presence of a man, supposedly a man of God, a man who should be feeding them all of those things through the Word of God. And they leave just as hungry, just as desperate, just as lost. It ought to break our hearts and cause us to pray. He closes this chapter with some characteristics of these guys. Verse 10 and 11. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Lust of uncleanness means they're doing shameful things. Things that if they became public, you know, and they do regularly. These false teachers regularly expose themselves to some level of shame because they're doing things that are shameful. God will not allow our sin to go too long without bringing it to light. They despise authority. They don't want to be subject to anyone. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're ever in a church and you hear something that you question whether or not it's true or not, and if you go up to that pastor and teacher and you say, you know what, I'm struggling with what you said. If they will not hear from you and explain to you, talk with you, humbly and gently and meekly what it is that they said, watch out. Watch out. They may not believe you have the right to question their teaching or their theology or their doctrine. Watch out. Chances are you may be listening to a false teacher. Be careful. Presumptuous means they're bold about all these things. Self-willed. I mean, it was pretty bold to ask for a $65 million jet. I'm sorry. That is bold. Self-willed means they're self-pleasing. It's all about them. They want things their way and no other. Demigod kind of a thing. Proverbs 21:24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Might say he's so full of himself, she's so full of herself, there's no room for anyone else, including God. No room for God, even though they claim to speak on behalf of him. Not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, blaspheming, false teachers. You know, someone to say that we shouldn't listen to Paul? Wow. I had to read it like 5 times before I could actually figure out that's actually what he said. They're not afraid to say whatever they feel, whenever they want, and they don't believe anybody has the right to question them. False teachers have a terrible destiny ahead of them. And the thing that crushes my heart, it's not just them, but all of those who will follow them. And the Bible says so clearly that many will follow them. Jesus said something similar, Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. These false teachers are leading people down the broad path, teaching destructive heresies that result in only one thing, destruction. Watch out. Watch out. I've named a few. There are so many more. In this valley, there are hundreds of churches. And there are many false teachers leading them. Many. We have to be careful. Before you call a church home, know its doctrine. Know what it teaches. Figure out how they handle the Word of God. Do they treat it as the absolute God-breathed truth or something less than that? Be careful. There are lots of those false teachers. I'm not even talking about the cults and the false religions. The Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm not even counting them. I'm calling the ones that call themselves real true Christian churches who are led by people teaching prosperity theology that are teaching false doctrine that will lead to emptiness, vanity, destruction, hopelessness. Watch out. Your only defense, you only have one defense, that is the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, built upon the Son of God, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Let's always stick to the true gospel. Now, I'm going to give you one last warning. I might finally step on some toes if I haven't got to everybody yet. Be careful what you're posting on Facebook. I've seen people sharing things that Joel Osteen has said, or Oprah has said, or one of these other false teachers has said. And you know what? They say uplifting things. They say encouraging things. They say things that on the surface, you know, I guess I agree with that. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the simplest way to understand it. They're using the same dictionary that we do. No, the same vocabulary that we do, but they're using a different dictionary. Their words don't mean the same thing that our words do. And if they are a false teacher and you are sharing what they say, what does that make you? That makes you an accomplice to the false teacher. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I'm not saying I'm the only truth. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying there are false teachers and they're all around us. You need to know the truth yourself. Not because I said it, but because you know it. Amen?
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.